It's time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening and welcome, everyone, to a nice wintry evening here in Stanton, Kentucky, here on this day, following along with Ken Simon here on PCSN Live, here from the WSKV studio, hoping we don't get iced in before we get off the air here at 7 o'clock. So, got all our preliminary work done for after the show. Hopefully, right at 7, we can be in our vehicles. Hopefully, it's not too bad by 7 o'clock.
Let's hope the temperature stays up. It's like currently 36 degrees, I believe, is about where we are right now. And obviously realizing it's going to drop, I just hope and pray that we get minimal ice and at the same time that people's electric does not go off and people have any issues as far as heating their homes, especially.
We're just looking at this handy-dandy WKYT first alert radar that we've got in front of us here at the studio. There is a long line of freezing rain down around way past the edge of Kentucky, all the way up kind of a northeastern kind of run here through Danville, Richmond, which means it's getting ready to hit here. So once it goes to Richmond, Irvin, then it goes to here. We're still looking probably another hour before it really hits hard here. But if you are out and about and listening to us here, please be safe. Remember, allow extra distance for yourself and the person in front of you. And again, they have asked that please stay off the roads tonight, unless you absolutely have to travel. So that's pretty much our little note, I guess. But be careful out there, because it may get really bad here tonight.
Yeah, get what you need while you can. I know in the last couple of days, the grocery stores have been packed, right? People kind of preparing for difficult days that lie ahead. So hopefully everybody has all of their groceries and everything that they need. And as you mentioned, just staying inside, staying safe, and
They said at a quarter of inch, you're looking at some major power outages. And if we get anywhere where we're possibility of getting up to 3/4 of an inch of ice, just be prepared, folks, because it's going to be an ugly, probably, 36 hours at least, I would think. I know it's going to stay until tomorrow night, so a full 24 hours from here. And tomorrow night's not going to get any warmer, so whatever's there tomorrow at 7 is going to continue to be there tomorrow at 8, 9, and 10. So until at least Friday, just be safe out there. So, again, I'll give you our COVID updates, and I'll go straight to Ken for COVID.
Okay, well, when we look at the numbers here today for the state of Kentucky, 1,914 new cases. The positivity rate, 7.5%. So the number continues to trickle down, getting better. There were 49 new deaths, and that bringing that total to 4,175. But the fact that the positivity rate continues to go down, last week we were at 9%, a little over 9%. The week before that, we were still up, you know, almost that 12% mark. So making good strides, you know, with that positivity rate, but at the same time, still a little bit too high. I'll go back to Saturday's numbers here in Powell County. There were 2 new cases on Sunday, 1 new case. Monday, 1 additional case. At that point, 17 individuals had met the criteria for recovery. As of Monday, there were 29 active cases. When we go to Tuesday, February the 9th, there were no new cases. And 2 individuals met the criteria for recovery. So there were 27 active cases as of yesterday. And then today, 4 new cases. So the active cases here in Powell County, 26, bringing a total of 939 total case count. 904 have recovered, and there have been 9 deaths. On the vaccines, they are in currently prioritizing those that are above 70 years old. And those in the school district received their vaccines last week. So hopefully, you know, the people have that signed up, in a sense, have gotten their vaccines and health department continuing to administer those.
Yeah, and you know, again, we like to, again, I want to, as a school employee, like to thank Sterling Health, all the health folks that came in and put the shots in the arms there last week. Thank you all very much, and thank you for the folks that allow, I guess, you know, and I hate to say this, but if we're getting some preferential treatment, it's, I hate to say this, but maybe one of the first times a teacher actually gets something instead of nothing. So I don't know, a lot of people are complaining that teachers are lumped in with the folks that are more at risk. And I tell you what, I was in education, been in education all my, pretty much all my life, and it's been a lot of take, but we haven't given, they haven't given us a whole lot. So, I mean, it's this is one of the first perks, I guess, if you will, for the job here. But again, thank you very much for the district, for the state, for allowing us to be, I guess, in the 1B category, those who chose to take the vaccines. We'll get our second round, I guess, early March. There are plans on going back to school, I think, on the 22nd for elementary schools, the 23rd for middle and high. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
So, and that will be as a regular Monday through Thursday, or is it Monday through Friday? Is it
Monday through Friday.
So all week. All right, so kiddos, those who are choosing back to come back to in-person learning, which that's the students that will be coming back again. And if you haven't told a administrator at your school yet, let them know if you choose to come back or not.
If anything, just to make plans,
yes,
obviously with the seating arrangements, et cetera, to know who's in, who's still remote, that kind of thing. And obviously under the circumstances, I think the fact that, you know, a majority of staff have received the first vaccine. The second one will come the first week in March. At that point, I'm assuming the superintendent believes that at least with that first round having been administered, at that point, it's time to go on and get back started. I'm kind of surprised at that, to be honest with you. I thought maybe it would be delayed until
the second
week. Yeah, until the second week of March. At least at that point, allowing the rest of your staff to get that second vaccine, make sure no one had any complications, and then come back and do that.
I think, and I'm not talking for the superintendent because I don't really have a clue what goes through his head, but what I can gather from just bits and pieces of information from folks is that he thinks that the positivity rate, not the positive rate, but the index, whatever that number is, will be either in the yellow or the orange. And still, and I do agree with one thing I'm getting ready to say is, schools really have been fairly safe for the students to come in because they are following the protocols, and they are kind of made to follow the protocols while they're in the building. As far as I know, there hasn't been a in-school transmission of the virus. I know we've had cases while we've been in person, but none. I don't think those have been related to actually in the building at the time. So it just, again, and you got the other variant, and some of the research that I have read was, if you take the first shot and you got to give it about 10 days, and you're about 52% covered, if you will, the second shot, after I think it's 8 or 9 days, you goes up to about 95% covered. So once you get the second shot, you're still not there. You're still about 10 days out from the full potential of the vaccine. So let's say you get it on March the 1st. By March the 11th, then you are, quote, fully immunized against whatever you can, and full immunization is about 95%. So you can still get it. You still have to wear your mask. You still have to distance. You still have to follow the protocols, the washing your hands, the sanitization and things. So everything still has to be within the parameters, what the guidelines are. Mask, distance, and wash your hands. Those things aren't changing. Those things are going to be a constant, in my opinion, for at least, I think it'll be until next fall.
I would agree. Definitely, probably to finish out this current year and then see where we are, you know, next winter under those circumstances. Again, nobody necessarily wants to be in a position to have to make those tough decisions. You know, they're making those decisions based on what it is that they think is the right thing to do.
At the time.
Exactly.
And I do think Dr. Orr and his decision that he's to start back on the 22nd versus going back the 1st of March, which I think was the original.
Correct, plan, yes.
Was that he looked at the numbers and they look more promising as far as getting to 25% or less. And you know, I guess if we get there, then it's okay. He's still following the state guidelines as far as that is concerned. I do think that if we're still red, I don't think that we will start back on the 22nd. I'm just speaking for myself. I don't know what the plans are totally, but again, schools can go back while they are red. It's just not really advised to. So again, we'll have to just kind of wait and see where we are. When we get to the 22nd, we were going to try to get Stacy on. I couldn't make contact with her today, but to answer some of the questions about the protocols on, you know, I've read some things where if you come in contact with someone who's infected and you've had both sets of vaccines and your time has passed where you're fully vaccinated, that you don't have to quarantine. So that's out there now. But again, they're talking about in the national media where the variants that are coming in, they're looking for more, another large wave to hit around the end of March, early April, because of the variants taking over the dominance of the infection.
And then potentially working on an additional vaccine, a little booster, you know, in order to, you know, kind of correct that aspect of it. So the fact that now we have these additional variants that are coming in playing a factor in this. And then BioNTech is about to release their vaccine, as well as Johnson & Johnson is, you know, obviously the Moderna and Pfizer being out there. So now you have these four companies that potentially can offer something up. Again, how effective are they? You know, we'll that still kind of remains to be seen. And ultimately, the people who have received the vaccine to be reporting back to the CDC, et cetera, in order to continue to, I guess, get the data that's needed to show the effectiveness and that it is working and or not working. And maybe even looking at subgroups, obviously, whether that's age, race, you know, no matter what those categories would be, in order to kind of pinpoint where it's most effective or not.
Yeah, and the other drawback, I guess, of starting the 22nd would be, you hear a lot of these folks that are taking the second shot, and you're sick for 2 or 3 days, and you're pretty sick. We had a couple people, actually, the first time, that got real sick. You work with some of those. So you hate to see the entire staff get a shot, let's say on a Friday, and you're still sick on Monday and have a wave of absences to come back. Then you probably have to shut down again until everybody can come back healthy. But, again, you're just not feeling well, not that you can really transmit. But, again, just because you've been vaccinated doesn't mean you can't transmit the virus if you have it in your system. So masks have to stay, distancing have to stay, and so does washing your hands and sanitizing often. So COVID's not going places very fast and very far. I wish it'd get out a lot faster. Again, the death rate, again, is still climbing because it's about 2 or 3 week lag and over the infection rate. So the death rate's high and the numbers are down, but the numbers being down means in 2 or 3 weeks, the numbers are, then our deaths will be dropping a little bit. But it takes a little while to clear all those bad numbers we had in the first of the year and get that out of the way, and hope we don't have a second wave here after the Super Bowl and all the events that we're having. So, again, we're going to step away for a break here on PCSN Live. Come back with more sports here in a moment.
From the Challenger, Charger, and Durango to the 300 and Pacifica, the Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram lineup has never been stronger. Going on now during the Start Something New sales event, all 21 products are on sale. And as always, the great folks at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram are dealing. Before you buy anywhere, check with Daryl and the guys for great sales and service. For over 20 years, they won't be beat.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like PhoneSmart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, Call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Appalachian Wireless invites you to start the new year off with a bang. What better way than with a new Samsung device? The new Samsung Galaxy S21, S21 Plus, and S21 Ultra are the latest and hottest devices of the new year, with great cameras, all-day battery life, and faster processors. The S21 is the phone everyone wants and will be jealous of. From now till the end of February, the new Samsung S21 models will be $400 off the Advantage plan at Appalachian Wireless and AppalachianWireless.com. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin.
And welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Here in a few moments, we'll have Coach Ken Jones on about the 6:30 hour. We'll have to talk to him. First, we're going to talk about the boys' basketball. And they played last night versus Floyd Central and dropped that game 72-40. So another tough loss for the Pirates. That will take them to 0-11?
0-12.
So 0-12 now for the Pirates. And again, coming off a game where they played fairly well against Fleming County. Lost that one 69-64. And then coming off the Cordia loss, also 80-39. And, you know, we covered the model game where we thought that may be a game we'd be competitive, and again, it was running clock, so things aren't looking really well. Again, they've had one good out in the last four. They've got, we were supposed to have had Alsda County coming in on the 12th. That is actually now a COVID cancellation for the Alsda County group. And then the next game will be Saturday versus Bergen. And then Monday, a big district game versus Lee County, a doubleheader here. And then they also play Tuesday at Morgan County. So before we meet again here on PCSN Live, the boys have three contests scheduled. I guess the good and the bad part about that, it's kind of a weak portion of the schedule, but also a portion of the schedule that is, by the forecast, looks like snow or freezing rain and ice Friday through Tuesday on the extended forecast. So I don't even know if you get these games in or not.
I know, and that's going to be a challenge. And the thing that's unfortunate about the Pirates is that defensively, they're allowing the opponent to average 72 points per game. They're only averaging about 44 points per game. So they struggle to shoot offensively and give up a lot of points defensively, where teams are coming in shooting over 50% from the field, and the Pirates are only shooting about 30% from the field. Their numbers dip even lower from three-point range. So not necessarily a great shooting team by any means, and defensively just not getting it done on that end of the floor as well. So when you're not shooting well and you're not playing defense,
it's not a very good combination, sir.
Yeah, and that obviously gets you an 0-12 start. Now, as we said time and again, we see flashes of where they play really good ball during stretches of time, and all of a sudden might actually lead in those segments as far as like outscoring an opponent and not giving up a lot. They can't put it together for the four quarters. In some respects, they almost remind me of this UK current basketball team. There's some similarities in a sense that they don't shoot well. They have a tendency of breaking down late and thus causing them a chance at a victory, and well, you can't have that consistently.
I kind of look at the UK group this way, like the Pirates. Young, inexperienced at the level they're playing, and probably weaker than the guys are playing against, because a lot of these schools now are playing 2-, 3-, and 4-year players. UK does the one-and-done deal, which these kids didn't even get a really good chance to mature, and probably had a limited offseason this year with COVID, just like everybody else did. But if they got juniors and seniors that have already got to the point where they need to be, UK didn't have that chance this year. So It hasn't worked really well for them. And just kind of like the Pirates, young, inexperienced, didn't get the offseason conditioning that they really needed in strength. But again, it's a young group of core guys, and we're talking about a lot of the talent we see are some of the younger players, but they've also got a good mix of upperclassmen. And we're talking about one senior and three juniors, I believe, on the roster. That being said, that kind of can alleviate some problems on the defensive side of the ball where you're young, you're inexperienced, a little bit weaker, and this is a small team overall. And a lot
even
of
physically.
Yes, and that by itself causes problems. Again, I say this before. If I'm coaching this group, which I'm not, but if I were, I think I would probably have to try to play a slower tempo game offensively or try to get a better shot selection than what you're getting just to keep the game closer, if you will, and maybe play a zone more often than you're playing man. And I understand the teaching part. I totally get the process. But when you start playing man-to-man and you got two guys outmanned, it's not going to be a good outcome. So to me, I would probably play more of a zone type set, make somebody beat me from the outside, and then obviously try to slow the tempo down to keep the game where it's in reach. You know, team scores 70 against you, you're probably losing by 30. Team scores 40, okay, we can stay in that when they might only lose by 15. But my point is, that seems like a much better mental loss than the game that's the blowout.
Yeah, because obviously if you're slowing it down and we're being very methodical offensively and running clock
and taking good shots.
Yeah,
that was
yes,
the key.
Yes. And obviously if we're rotating the ball around the perimeter and at that point looking for it, the inside player being Chandler Congleton, if you will, at that point let's rotate it around, see if we can't get it inside and get that basket. Or take the open shot. Unfortunately, I feel like with this team, sometimes they're forcing their shots.
Yeah.
And at times I almost feel like there's too many individuals that are trying to get their shots off without playing a team concept ball.
That's what we kind of saw in the Fleming County game. We probably saw that game in a big picture was more team-oriented than what we have seen.
Agreed.
Previously. You know, I don't know what happened at Floyd Central, but what we saw at Fleming, it was more of a team game. That being said, again, you're still talking about a young team that's underskilled, really, to their opponents, and really kind of put in a tough situation because you're playing a lot of these kids, at times three freshmen to four at the same time, sometimes four. That's really not going to – you're not going to win a lot. For the future, it's good, but for the present, it really stings to watch. But again, stay with these kids. I think you got some good talented players on this team. They will get there. It just takes time and patience. So please, folks, just be patient. They'll get there. It just may take longer than what we would all like to see.
Well, I think on one hand, too, I believe personally that they could benefit team-wise, watching the girls play. I would love what I was going to say, though, is that I would love to have had the boys to have watched the girls from the beginning of their season and see the transition that we've seen with this girls' team and the way they've kind of turned it around just a little bit and gotten better.
Yeah.
The boys, we've not necessarily seen that improvement. They keep doing the same things game in and game out, but we keep getting the same result and nothing is changing. Where the girls have made changes, whether it's personally or a team-wise, and therefore now they've won three in a row and showing that success. If the boys could buy into that, again, if we're on the same team, I don't care if I get points or whatever else. As long as I'm contributing, maybe I'll get my points. Maybe I'll get rebounds.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get an assist. Maybe I'll get a foul called against the other team or something. If I'm contributing in other ways that don't necessarily show up on the stat sheet and my team wins, I'm happy because guess what? Collectively, we're a team. And maybe the next time I go for more points and you do what I did the game before. Again,
yeah,
it becomes a rotation along those lines.
I use one example from the boys' game against Fleming was Cam Del Osorio. I don't know if he scored a point, but that was irrelevant to me. He hustled. He made some things happen. He got a couple of steals. Made a couple of nice passes, made some drives to the lane. I'm not sure he finished. I'm not, like I said, I wasn't really looking for scoring, but I watched him in the JV game, and he seemed like his confidence level went way up. So he got rewarded in the varsity game, which was, I think, is a good move by the coaches. Reward your players in the JV and let them play some in the varsity, and he got that action, and he seemed like he carried that same confidence over in the varsity game, and to me, he stood out. Now, again, he might not have put a point on the board. That didn't matter to me because the effort was there. He made some things happen, and you don't always look at the line score and find a name, but to me, he had probably one of the better games for the Pirates, and yes, there was limited time, but it stood out to this one announcer anyway. I mean, it's just, and those are the kind of things you like to see happening.
And but when you notice that effort, that in and of itself says a lot, right?
Yes.
Again, you might not necessarily notice it stat-wise or anything that all of a sudden we're marking it down that he's done this as much as you notice the hustle,
the extra effort,
yes, whatever it might be, again, in order to help contribute towards my team to put us in a better position to win. It's collectively, when you don't have that happen, things fall apart. Again, you have to come together as a unit of five on that floor, and if everybody is putting forth that same effort, diving on the floor for those loose balls, going for those rebounds, blocking out shots, etc., we're going to find success within that framework.
Oh, trust me, look, watch this boys team, man. They love, some of these kids love to take a charge. Those are kind of momentum boosters. There are some things that this team really likes to do, and most of the time they leave it on the floor. And I'm never really knocked their determination and their effort. Their decision-making, yes, but that's because they're young and inexperienced. So,
well, they're going to play the same regardless if they're, you know, up 20 or down 20. They're
You got to learn.
Yes.
You got to learn when to fold them. I guess you want to talk about poker. But there's times where you slow down when you're ahead. There's times when you slow down when you're maybe behind to try to take a better shot, get more quality out of each possession. Every possession counts. So try to have good quality possessions throughout the game, and it makes the game go a lot better. We're going to step away another break, try to get hold of Coach Ken Jones. We'll talk about girls basketball after the break here on PCSN Live.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
And welcome back, Ken Simon, along with David Faulkner here, as we are getting ready to talk to Powell County Girls Head Coach Ken Jones. Are you with us, Coach?
Yeah, I'm with you, Ken. How are you doing?
I'm well. And you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Obviously, under the
circumstances. Out and back home, staying warm.
Obviously, under the circumstances, you had your game at West Jessamine canceled. Did you still have practice this evening?
Yeah, we got in a couple of good hours, and everybody got home safe, so we're good.
Yeah, you went home at the same time we came in, so looks like it may be okay for us to get home even, but we're probably going to push the limits.
Yeah, it's supposed to move in sometime tonight. They've been saying it for I don't know how long, but I'd just as soon it'd stay away, wouldn't you?
Oh, very much so. Again, it kind of puts everything in kind of perspective. You've got a game coming up Friday, which was Owsley County, which a game you lost earlier in the season up there. The girls playing so much better right now. This was a time where I kind of feared, like, if you miss a couple of days after you're running good, you kind of take your momentum out of your team.
Yeah, it's start and stop, but hopefully we can keep on going.
Obviously, you're on a three-game winning streak here, picking up victories against Hazard, Wolf County, and Bluegrass United. What do you think kind of became like a little turning point to get on this little three-game win streak with your team?
Well, The loss at Nicholas County, I think, gave them a wake-up call. Nicholas County is a pretty good team, but we didn't play well at all over there. So we had a good talk, and we decided to work a little harder.
There's a lot of things, of course. I'm looking at it from a person who has got to work with a few of these kids when I was there with you. But what I've seen so far out of this group, and I've said it to Ken on the air, they really are working your scheme out. They run their offenses really well. They're making the extra passes. They get their confidence up, and they're hitting shots from the outside, which really kind of has actually opened the door for Macy. But we just missed too many open shots against Bluegrass United. We've had to pick on a weakness. There's too many layups missed.
Well, yeah, it's a game where Macy opens it up for the outside, and the outside opens it up for her, but we've got to knock them down.
Yeah. But as of late, Candace Stevens now shooting right around 45-50% on the season from three range, which is phenomenal. And then you got Presley Hall, who has probably picked her average up a little bit outside. And Chloe Graders went out there and hit some big shots for you.
Yes, she did. Chloe's going to have a breakout now before this season's over. She's going to get at least 20.
Well, we know she can do that. And then Makaira Collins just kind of being consistent if she can just stay out of foul trouble.
Yeah. Chloe on her threes is now up to 30%, so that's respectable.
Very respectable. That's kind of where you want to be, right? 33%?
Yeah, and Kansas is around 51%.
So. Yeah, that's probably one of the states. Is she in the state leaders with that kind of percentage or anything?
No, not yet, but we'll get there.
50% is pretty. That's pretty impressive, though, Ken.
Yeah, it is. I looked at top 50 well this afternoon, as a matter of fact, and she's not there yet. We've got Kenna on shooting percentage. She's in the top 50, and Macy is on the rebounding.
Well, I know this. When you've got Kenna in the game at the same time with Macy, it's very difficult to guard both those two ladies. So it's a problem for some defense.
High-low going, it's tough.
Obviously, going back to, your three-point shooters, it seems like, after that Nicholas County game, they started to get their confidence to even take those three-pointers. Like, at times, they were a little bit – they'd miss one, and then they would be hesitant to shoot another three in that same game. But now, even if they miss one, they're coming right back if they have an open shot and taking and making that three. What do you think's kind of been the difference as far as – them finding that confidence to make it, and then just even the fact that they actually are making those shots now?
Well, I think it's a combination of hard work and talking to them. I keep telling them, you miss one, play the next one. So, don't be afraid to put it up there.
And they have given you credit for that, just so you know, when we've talked to them, they have actually they've actually said that you don't mind them taking those open shots, as long as it's a good shot. They can keep firing away. Obviously, you don't want to take a silly shot or anything along those lines, but when they have those open opportunities, that you give them that free rein, in a sense, to go on and take that and hopefully convert.
Yeah, if you can hit anywhere from 30 to 50% on your threes, keep on shooting that thing.
Yeah, I know.
You remember last year I had a kid that was 0 for 10 and then hit the game winner, the 11th.
I'll tell you what, if you quit shooting, you can't score.
That would have to be true.
I mean, it's just, that's kind of one of those things where sometimes a kid may go 3 for 7 or 3 for 8 and doesn't realize that's a good three-point shooting night. And
that's not bad at all.
No, I think the kids think, well, I missed too many shots. Well, no, you didn't take enough for that kind of percentage. Just take more of them. But I know as long as the shots come within the offense – is what you're looking for, and an open shot versus just any kind of open three that could be there any time.
Yeah.
There is a difference, right?
Yeah, there definitely is. The time of the game and where you are and what the defense are doing.
One of the weaknesses that, kind of plagues them at different times are the layups. All of a sudden they'll get a fast break or something and we'll leave it just a little bit short. What do you think is kind of an issue with them as far as not being able to convert some of those layups and those opportunities?
Well, that's just not going hard enough in practice, kind of dogging you a little on the speed going in.
Yes, I've seen that before.
they've got to go game speed all the time if they're going to put those in.
I think a few weeks ago we had Kansas on the air after the game, and I know she had missed one that was just a wide open layup. And I told her, I said, if you had go that hard in practice at a layup, you might make that one tonight, because that one went off the board pretty hard, because she went in probably a faster pace than what she normally goes in practice. And I don't know if the kids always get what they're doing, but at the same token, they come back last week and said, I think coach making us run and getting in shape and is making us play better. So again, they're starting to understand a little bit, I think.
We're getting there. It's what, we're 5 weeks, exactly halfway in the season, 5 weeks to go. So we've got a little time yet. Hopefully we'll get there by tournament time.
Now, a quick question just based on the seeding as far as how it works. If you play all the district games, then it goes to what you did both games? Is that how that works?
Well, that's what we've always done. Of course, this is not a normal year.
And now for an example, if, like, the Owsley boys are not playing Friday and they don't get that game made up, mm-hmm. does that make, like, the boys would revert back to just the four game?
Yeah, it goes back to the first game and only game played.
Okay. I was thinking that was the case going in, but that makes it very difficult. It makes you want to make some of those games up. I'll also ask you this question. For example, if you don't get to play Friday because of weather, for an example.
We'll try our best to make it up.
Well, I know you will, but if you beat Estill and you beat Lee again, that game does not actually have to be made up. Would that be correct?
Right.
Okay.
Well, Owsley is 4-0 right now.
Right.
So mathematically, we've still got a shot at them. We're 2-1.
So you have to beat the teams you have to beat, plus beat Owsley by the 15 mark just to get the coin flip, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. As long as I still remember what we're doing here.
Yeah. They're 4-0, and, well, Estill's got in four games. They're 2-2.
Okay.
So they're in the third spot right now.
So you want, and right now you would play Estill then?
And Lee is 0-5, yeah. So the number four spot's the only one that's settled for sure right now.
And I think that's pretty much the seat nobody really wants right now, to face Owsley, who is playing really good basketball so far.
They are. They beat Perry Central by 15, and that was without the Herald kid the other night. So they're playing pretty well.
Now, I have a question. I know a couple times we played some teams when I was helping you, and we found a couple teams that had a really good press against us. But I really haven't seen a lot of people. Like I said, only two I can remember that outpressed what I saw out of Owsley County when we were up there. And that goes maybe back 15 years or so.
Yeah, they're holding opponents to 39 points a game this year. So, and most of that is the pressure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've got a really good press. We've got to beat that before we worry about anything else.
No, and I totally understand. You can't get in half-court set if you don't get the ball off the floor.
That would be right.
But your team actually is getting better, you know, at least at this point, when you faced off against the press since Owsley County. So, you know, the more that you're faced off against that, obviously they're getting better. And even defensively with your team, how would you kind of assess where you are defensively with them at this point in the season?
Well, right now, going back to the press, I think we've cut our turnovers in more than half. We've cut down from in the 20s down to 9, 10, and 11 a game. If we do that, we'll be in pretty good shape. Defensively, we just have to do what we've been doing.
And if we could, again, talk to Makaren to not reach it as much, and I know that also takes away from her game, because that's how she plays, but she kind of got to know when not to take those extra reaches if she can do that.
Yeah, she's been in foul trouble, I think, half the games this year.
And usually, like the last couple of games, it's been the first quarter. And I've been really impressed, though, with Chloe. She'll go from the four spot into the one spot real quick, and she's done a pretty good job at the point.
Yeah, she has done a good job. We just moved her out there, four or five games ago.
That was the first I had seen, yeah.
Just got her some time at it. So, yeah, we were ready for it when it got kind of obvious we were going to need it.
And I know one thing. I talked about this the other night. I know Kansas Stevens was one that, used to be kind of wild and would take crazy drives, and she doesn't do that anymore. She's really got more patient, and I think she understands the game a whole lot better and has really improved her game.
Yes, she has, and her scoring average has gone up as a result, and everything else, she's averaging 12 points a game right now.
Yeah, and then we mentioned Presley Hall real quick. She got seemed like at the Wolf County game, I was just really impressed with her. It seemed like the light bulb went off somewhere with her at Wolf County where I can do this and I can do that, and she really showed up against Wolf County.
Yeah, she played a super game that night. She took it to the goal. I don't know how many threes, what she hit, three threes?
Yes.
But even more impressive was her driving.
Yes, agreed. Because I hadn't seen that out of her really all year, and it seemed like after she hit a couple shots, she's ready to drive it in there, and I thought that was a big, huge you know, for her, I know how she is. With if she's confident, she can do pretty much anything. It's just when she gets down on herself, when she has some problems.
Yeah, she's not afraid of contact anymore. So
yes, I like that a lot.
Well, and even with your team too, they seem to be actually taking advantage of that dribble and splitting defenders to actually get by that first line, if you will. Whether they take that jumper or whether they get it inside to Macy Howell, still taking advantage of that opportunity and using that dribble to get around them. What do you think's kind of happened as far as them finding that confidence to be able to beat someone off the dribble?
Well, we do a lot of work one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three, and taking it in. And I tell them every day I love layups.
Yep.
So,
got to finish better than we did. Again, you got a big win. I hate to pick on something, but if I had to pick on anything against Bluegrass United, it was just you didn't finish at the rim.
Yeah, that would be it. I don't know how many we missed in there. I haven't looked back at that game tape, but it was a bunch.
Yeah, more than I had seen in the past. But then again, you that had more opportunities to shoot. They just really and I, by the way, I will have to say this real quick to you. They're running their press breakers, or their presses, or well, I'm not saying it right here. Anyway, they're running their two on ones and the three on twos to almost perfection. Mm-hmm. So this is probably the best I've seen a team run their two on ones and three on twos.
Well, you know, that's one of the everyday drills.
Yes.
It's just got to get there, and it's got to be a habit. You can't think about it and back up and think, what have I got to do now?
Yeah, like
it's too late.
Yeah, like I said, this is probably one of the better groups I've seen fundamentally doing it the right way. Again, getting the extra pass, getting the extra look, very unselfish play. They seem like they all like each other really well. So is that kind of what – am I saying what is actual reality?
Yeah. They're getting along really well, and they'll pick each other up when they're down. And you know, they're playing like a team.
Definitely. And even
it shows.
It definitely shows. And I think on one hand, the fact that they all hustle out on the court and they realize that – If I'm one of your players and I miss a defensive assignment, in a sense, someone's going to catch up, you know, on my team and be there for me to kind of get that. And then again, the back tips, the fast breaks that they've been able to execute. And even we noticed the other night, even during warm-ups, they seem to be going left-handed layups during the, you know, that time period, as opposed to switching back over to the right on the left-hand side. So obviously, something has clicked as well to where they're really starting to take it up with their left hand on that left side.
Well, it's kind of embarrassing to get blocked out there trying to shoot with that right hand on the left side. So,
it is.
Yeah, maybe they're getting there.
Well, again, I remember it's like pulling teeth sometimes to make some of them shoot left handed on the, even if they missed it. It's better to just shoot it, practice it that way. But again, we saw them. I don't think anybody on the left side. Nobody went with the right hand.
Nobody.
Through the whole warm-up. So I was really appreciative of that for the kids, because that was something that I know in the past we had some problems with some of the, and I'll say weaker players, but some of your players that don't always do well, even on a layup, they're all shooting the left-hand layup, which is a good thing.
Yeah, they grow up, from third grade on up, shooting that right-hand layup only.
Yep.
So it takes quite a while to get that habit out of them.
I'm just glad to see the younger players are already there. That's a good testament, I think, to what Robbie and Martin have done as far as getting that done in practice every day as well.
Yeah, it is. And Rob comes back tomorrow, by the way.
Well, that'd be good. I know the girl would be glad to have him back there.
Yeah, we all will.
Yeah. So I tell you what, we're gonna let you get off here, and if you haven't had dinner, go ahead and get your dinner in, and see how that goes, and tell the whole family
I've had that. I'm just got game film scheduled.
Yeah. Go watch some Mousley County.
Appreciate your time, Coach.
Be careful.
All right, see you, Ken.
Thanks.
All right, that's Coach Ken Jones, Powell County Lady Pirates basketball coach. Again, does a great job, and these kids are playing well for him right now. Hopefully, they can continue that for the back half of the season. So, we'll take a break here on PCSN Live.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protech Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protech Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
Welcome back to PCSN Live. This is Dave Fodden along with Ken Simon. And radar shows that we are still just getting rain at the moment, but I guess the temperatures are just kind of being stubborn here in Powell County, which is a good thing.
Yeah, hold on, temperatures.
Yeah, we're right. It looks like we're all rain, but the freezing rain line is just to our north. I mean, we're talking about half a county or a county over is where it is. So,
well, a lot of times it's interesting, though, because sometimes it is that line,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
Where all of a sudden it stays to the north of us, and let's hope that it actually stays north of us.
Well, again, we see it all the way back. Again, the heavier band of ice and freezing rain is well back from Evansville, Indiana, Owensboro, in that area, and running to the north towards Louisville. So if that drops down a little, then that's where the bad stuff really is. And then that middle line between, I guess, somewhere around Bowling Green up through Ashland, there's a trough where we're just to the south end of that. And I'm just looking at WKYT's radar here. So, again, be careful if you're out there tonight.
Yep, you're exactly right. Let's kind of transition here, and we'll go to the scheduling coming up for the Lady Pirates. They will be hopefully in action this Friday night as they will play host to Owsley County. It will just be a girls varsity game at 6 o'clock tip-off. And then on Monday, they will play host to Lee County at home. That one will be a doubleheader. The boys will tip off at 6 and the girls approximately 8 o'clock. And then on the 18th, that will be at Lafayette at home, which will be Thursday the 18th, next week, Lafayette at home. And then when you look at the boys, the game against Owsley on Friday was canceled due to COVID, and then they will play Saturday the 13th against Bergen at home, and then Monday again, Lee at home, and then the 16th, they will be on the road at Morgan County, and then returning the 19th to face Menifee County, and then on the 20th, Floyd Central. So they'll get another opportunity against Floyd Central coming up to try and revenge the loss that they had last night.
Yeah, and again, Menifee County, where they had just a 2-point loss over there.
Yeah.
a nice comeback win against, or not comeback win, but a comeback at Lee where they were down 20 and cut it to 5 and then wound up being about 15, but again, did a good job of cutting that lead. So maybe being at home, they play a little bit better against Lee County as well coming up. Now, again, weather, the forecast doesn't look good for the next five,
week.
Six. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look good. So hopefully they can get some of these games in. If the weather is bad, just tune in here to WSKV to find out the schedule and what has been, what is going to go on or what's not going to happen. Also want to mention that Monday night, Lee County game is senior night for the boys,
yes,
girls, and the cheerleaders, band, whoever. I guess they're honoring on senior night. So, again, come out and support your Pirates, Lady Pirates, Cheer Pirates, Band Pirates, whoever is being recognized on that senior night. I think it's everybody right now. But, again, hopefully we can get that one in and move forward.
Yeah, especially the district games.
Yeah.
You know, to me, I would love to see the Owsley County game, the girls play the game. It's unfortunate the boys will not be playing that game, but hopefully the girls will play that game just to see the progress that the girls have made, the Lady Pirates, to see what kind of progress they've made against this Owsley County team, because this Lady Pirate team is a different team than when they played Owsley County. I think, if anything, they've matured, because we've seen a different team. Obviously, I think going at Owsley County, a little bit intimidated, if you will. I think at that point now, they've put that behind them, and I'm not so sure that the Lady Pirates are intimidated by anyone to that extent.
I just think it was more of kind of a shell shock.
Like, nerves,
wow,
maybe.
They're pretty good at this.
Sure.
And I think give credit where credit's due. Owsley County's got a core group of kids they've had for back when, and I've been out of coaching now for 5 years, so these kids were starting out. This was their bunch they had when I was still coaching. So that's kind of, if you look at the boys, that's kind of what Owsley done. Now this group is one of the best teams in the region. But again, if Powell County is going to be able to get there, you got to go through Owsley County just as well. So they could get it done. They just got to really, really stay with it and play a great game, execute, stay out of foul trouble. All the little things got to happen. But again, or maybe get Owsley County in foul trouble. That also would be a big plus.
And with it being a home game, like to think that
maybe
would be an advantage. Exactly. That would be an advantage as well, just to be in your home gym, et cetera. And knowing you faced off against Owsley, yep, County once, at this point, this is our home court.
And we're fairly competitive
different
for most part of the game. I mean, you were down,
yes,
like, what, it could have been probably a 5-point game at one point instead of 8, I think, going into halftime.
Remember, they hit the 3.
Yes,
hit
and
a
it made
3
a difference
in the last second,
yeah,
and it went from a 5 to an 8. And at that point, you're kind of a little deflated going into halftime as opposed to being in it. Now it's like, oh, they stretched it out just a little bit further. So
yeah, makes a difference.
The full court pressure, I mean, that was impressive on any level, that particular game for Owsley County. The Lady Pirates have improved since then. Again, hopefully the game actually occurs, because I think where the Lady Pirates are right now, I would like to see how they face off against this Owsley County team.
Same thing here. We're going to step away from another break. Be back with more here on PCSN Live after the break.
Conveniently located for Powell County residents and visitors to the area, Powell Family Health treats minor illnesses, sprains, cuts or burns, and does suturing and splinting for minor injuries. On-site x-ray and lab services are available. Powell Family Health is located only minutes from the Natural Bridge State Resort Park in the Red River Gorge, just off the Mountain Parkway at exit 22 in Stanton. Open weekdays 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. 606-663-2511. Powell Family Health, an affiliate of Clark Regional Medical Center, will make sure you can easily and quickly get the care you need to feel better close to home.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hearnfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware
now offers full service sales and repair on the popular Steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers. Stop into the former Roses Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for Steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
And welcome back to PCSN with Dave and Ken. This will be our last segment of the night. But again, you've got those upcoming games for the Pirates and Lady Pirates. Again, we are February the 10th.
Today, yes.
Today.
Happy birthday to my sister, by the way.
Happy birthday. To all those on the 10th, I guess, happy birthday. But again, you got what used to be softball season, baseball season, start on the 15th. Now it's the 22nd. So, that would be your official spring start date. So, you know, when you get to this point in the season, it's always like, oh, we're getting down to the end. This is your normal back end of your basketball season. And as Coach Ken Jones said, this is about the middle now. So it's, I guess, middle of March is about where the end of the season is. So hopefully the Lady Pirates and the Pirates will keep playing on as far as they can through the district and region and see how it all plays out. Again, records are 0-0 when you get district play.
Yeah, you're exactly right, and obviously a long way to go, but games coming up, again, Friday, Owsley County Girls, and then Monday against Lee County, the doubleheader senior night here at home. So, to me, those are both winnable games on both sides. It's just a matter of whether or not you can execute and come away with a win.
A lot of times it's all about the execution versus just what you're capable of. You got to execute, and I know, like with Coach Jones, he's well-prepared. I always say this to the kids. If you listen to the man, if you trust what he's giving you, he's going to give you a good game plan. Just trust it, follow it, and execute. If you execute, you can win. So, pretty simple. I mean, just kind of, you know, that's just the way I always saw it with him. He was one of the most professional coaches I'd ever seen as far as game prep. And I don't think the kids always understood that, but I respect it immensely.
I think sometimes it potentially goes back to not fully understanding the game to understand potentially what it is that he's trying to convey or, you know, whatever might be.
When you go back and watch a game 5, 6, 7 times, just pick out any kind of weakness that player might have. That's what he does in his pastime. So,
yeah, and you take advantage of that, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know a lot of people that put as much homework in as he does, and he does a great job of that. So kind of leave him a little plug here. If he's still listening to us, he does a great job.
And again, the team, to me, the team is very exciting to watch.
And guess what, by the way?
What?
Still young.
Still young. Yeah, but to me, it's the effort.
Yeah.
I love the effort. I love the hustle. I love the quickness. I love the speed. They get up and down the court very well. Even the other night, Macy Howe, you know what I'm saying, running the court really well, gets a basket where it's a 3-on-1 break, but yet at the same time, she's running the court, and she's your post player.
Yeah, but she also understands there's a reward for running the floor.
100%, and yes. She made the pass, actually, yes, to get that fast break started.
Well, I'm saying, these kids – they're running the breakers really well, and I've just enjoyed it. They run the floor really well. They get and like they do it every day in practice.
Right.
I mean, I know that from the past. It's just every day automatic drills that they do every single day for about 10 minutes per drill. It pays off in the end, and you can see the result with these kids. They're really working hard. And again, this is a group that's been back. This is the same group you saw last year on the floor. So when they can play 2 years and 3 years with the same kind of set, you do get better at the little things, and that's how you get to being successful. And, you know, the boys and the girls really similar as far as age and maturity. The girls have got a year's experience ahead of where the boys are, so that's the difference.
And really just waiting for the boys to put it together for the full 4 quarters.
That's
I mean, if they can put it together for the full 4 quarters, shoot a little bit better, take some smarter shots, collectively play together, play some better defense at that point, it's just a matter of time before they flip that switch, if you will, and good things start to happen
for
them.
You know, I've seen the boys several times this year drive the ball inside against a much bigger opponent, and it's a block or a steal quickly, and it goes the other direction for a layup. That's a 4-point swing, folks. It's not a turnover, but it's just like one. So any really bad shot, that bad decision you make, is like a turnover. I mean, you're giving a possession away for really nothing. Take a high percentage shot. Take one you practice every day. Take shots like that to be successful. And to be successful, you got to practice. You got to work hard at it. And again, I know the kids are working hard, but just it comes from playing and learning. That's all it is. So, again, if you are out and about, be safe. Be careful. The ice line is right upon us. So, all those out listening, be careful as where you're going. And if you're out much later here, please just stay in if you can. So, for Ken Simon, this is David Faulkner saying good night. See you next week here on PCSN Live.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast.
104.9 Pickup Country.